NDR Info. Nachtclub.
So, bei mir im Studio in der zweiten Stunde ist, wie gesagt, James Graham von The Twilight Sad aus Schottland. Er kommt gleich zu Wort. Erstmal Musik von dem aktuellen Album Nobody Wants to Be Here, Nobody Wants to Leave. Here's There's a Girl in the Corner. Das war There's a Girl in the Corner von dem aktuellen Album Nobody Wants to Be Here, and Nobody Wants to Leave von The Twilight Sad. Bei mir im Studio ist James von der Band. Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. Hi, thank you for having me.
In a pleasant days, you've been on tour for quite a long time.
Yes, I currently didn't realise what day it was when I turned up today, but that's not unusual. But yeah, we've been on the road for a while now, so yeah, we just arrived here today as well. So yeah,
I mean, do you actually thrive on the momentum of being on tour for so long, like being so many weeks in America and then moving on to here?
There's something about it. Yeah, the momentum kind of. There's something really good about that, but at the same time, it would maybe be nice to have a week back home to maybe acclimatise, like jet lag and things like that. But I seem to be doing okay with that this time. But there is something to be said for just keep on going and keeping on doing it. You do gather momentum, and it's nice to have that rhythm, I suppose, of playing every night. So. But yeah, one day off in between an American and a European tour is probably not the most ideal. But we're three shows into the European tour, and all's going well so far. And yeah, we're really happy to be here, to be honest.
James sagt, dass die Band schon längere Zeit auf Tour ist. Sie waren gerade 4 Wochen in Amerika und die hatten nur einen Tag Pause, bevor sie dann weitermachen mussten. Die sind jetzt in Europa unterwegs, einige Monate lang. Und er hätte schon ganz gerne vielleicht eine Woche frei gehabt. Aber andererseits meinte, es ist ein Vorteil, dass die Band richtig in Schwung kommt, weil sie natürlich so viel Übung haben, so viel Routine. Und das hat auch auf jeden Fall seine Vorteile, dass man einen gewissen Rhythmus entwickelt und einen gewissen Schwung. Und die Band hat gewissermaßen im kreativen Sinne davon profitiert. So this album is the fourth album, and people don't really make any assessment about fourth albums when they come out. People talk about like the third difficult album, don't they? Or sometimes even the second difficult album. Yeah. Nobody even registers the fourth album. They probably just assume either you've split up by now or you're going to carry on forever anyway.
Yeah.
And does it feel you got to the stage where you're going to carry on forever anyway? Or
There was a point between the third, after the third record, when we were promoting it, that things weren't going so great for the band, and it was, things were pretty bleak, to be honest. We still believed in what we were doing and believed in each other, but we just seemed to be hitting a brick wall with touring and the industry as a whole, I suppose. So we had some time off and just kind of spent some time at home, and then this record just came out of being at home and being able to relax a little bit more, and it feels like this record is a big statement. Instead of it being just like, as you say, people talk about the second, the third record being the make or break, I suppose. But this one, really, we had in our mind that this had to be a special record. Every record has to be special for us, but we knew that at this point in our career that we had to put everything into it, and it had to achieve something. We knew what we wanted to do with it. We knew we just did what came naturally, but we knew there was a lot of weight lying on the future of the band with this record as well. And I think that went into really inspired us to really not to put absolutely everything into it. And we do with that with all our music. But I think with that in the back of your mind, knowing that the future of the band was in, could let rest on the success or failure of this record. I think that helped and made it a special record.
Sagt, dass es eine längere Pause gab zwischen der dritten und der aktuellen vierten Platte, weil die Band eigentlich erstmal nicht weiter wusste. Die hatten schon eine etwas düstere Phase gehabt. Sie haben zwar immer an sich selbst geglaubt, aber sie hatten schon zu kämpfen gehabt, auch mit der Musikindustrie. Es ging darum, wie sie überhaupt auch überleben konnten, finanziell auch. Und sie wussten, dass sie eine gewisse Auszeit gebraucht haben. Und sie haben viel Zeit zu Hause verbracht und sich ausgeruht im Grunde genommen. Und dadurch haben sie dann neue Kraft bekommen, um weiterzumachen. Und es war ihnen schon klar, dass wenn sie wirklich von Langlebigkeit reden wollten im Zusammenhang mit The Twilight Sad, dass sie ein viertes Album machen mussten, das wirklich was Besonderes sei. Es muss ein besonderes Statement sein, eine besondere Aussage. Es könnte nicht durchschnittlich sein, sonst würde man einfach überhaupt den Sinn der Band in Frage stellen. Und das war eine große Motivation für sie. Sie wussten, die mussten irgendwas hinbekommen, dass es große Errungenschaft gelten könnte, damit sie dann tatsächlich ihre eigene Zukunft absichern könnten. An einer Seite standen sie unter Druck, aber das war ein angenehmer, positiver Druck, weil sie wussten, dass sie auch in der Lage waren, was Besonderes zu schaffen. So the assumption is you do feel you've made something special. That was achieved.
Yeah.
The goal was achieved, yeah.
I think once we got into the studio, we knew we had the songs. We had the songs that could make it a special record, but you never know what happens when you go into a studio. You can plan out everything, but it's about being in there, and once things start to come together, then I think you can tell for yourself where it's going and how it's going to come out. And I think when we were in there, we knew that we were creating something special, and the atmosphere in the studio was really good because we had our live sound engineer Andrew Bush. He engineered the record, and Andy McFarlane, our guitarist, produced the record. And there was just, we all were all friends with each other. We all knew each other inside out. We were all comfortable in the studio and not afraid, and it made us not afraid to make mistakes or do things that we wouldn't usually do. We experimented a lot on different sounds and instruments. But once we came out, and then when Peter Katus, who mixed the record, and he's from Connecticut and has worked with bands like the Interpol and the National and Frightened Rabbit, once we were getting the mixes back from him, we knew we'd achieved what we wanted. You never know what other people are going to say, but ultimately we have to achieve what we want through our music first and foremost. And then after that, then you hope people connect or like it. And people have been very nice about it.
Ja, James sagt, dass sie eigentlich überzeugt waren, dass sie eine besondere Platte hinbekommen würden. Sobald sie ins Studio gekommen sind, dann wussten sie, dass sie die tollen Songs haben. Und die hatten ein sehr gutes Bauchgefühl. Die wussten, dass sie sich einfach gut entwickeln würde. Die Atmosphäre, die Stimmung, die Grundstimmung war sehr positiv. Sie haben mit Andrew Bush und Andy McFarlane zusammengearbeitet, mit denen sie sehr gut klargekommen sind als Produzenten. Und sie fühlten sich frei, auch Fehler zu machen, weil die wussten, dass diese Produzenten auch Verständnis für ihre Fehler hätten. Und die haben experimentiert, und bis sie tatsächlich den perfekten Sound hinbekommen haben. Und Peter Katus hat das alles gemixt, und er kommt aus Connecticut, ist bekannt dafür, dass er mit Bands wie Interpol und The National und Frightened Rabbit zusammengearbeitet hat. Und sie fühlen sich bei ihm sehr gut aufgehoben. Und es war von vornherein so ein positives Grundgefühl. There's a particular song on the album where you actually think in the studio, you realize it was really going to click this time. Was it kind of like a key experience in that sense? Or can you not single one out in that respect?
The songs that came out, the ones that are like the singles and the big songs on it, we knew what we wanted to do before we went into the studio. There were songs on the record that we thought, we'll see how this goes and see if it turns out the way, we'll just see how it goes. And songs like Drown So I Can Watch and Pills I Swallow, those to us were just going to be very small songs that would benefit the record, but we didn't know how much people would fall for them, if you know what I mean. And as we've been playing them live, those songs seem to be really, really popular. And
so you're a bit taken by surprise yourself.
Right. The songs that I knew that if we recorded them well and were it sounded right, then they would be good and popular with people that like our band. And that's true. Like There's a Girl in the Corner, Last January, It Never Was the Same. They were all songs that I thought if people liked our band, they would like those songs.
The obvious choices.
Yeah, the obvious ones. But it's nice to have the wee surprises in there, like ones that you didn't think you'd think people would like, but not love, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. So which one you like to go for then now?
I think I'll go for, actually another one of those was Leave the House. I'd go with that one. That one seems to be quite a popular one with, with people like a band.
James sagt, dass es einige Songs auf dem Album gab, die für die Band selbst als wichtige Songs gegolten haben. Es war ihnen schon klar, dass sie so die Hauptstücke der Platte werden müssten. Und dann gab es ein paar andere Songs, die waren zwar nicht Lückenfüller, aber die waren in ihren eigenen Köpfen nicht ganz so wichtig und nicht so richtig von Bedeutung. Aber als sie dann auf Tour gegangen sind und als sie die Resonanz von ihren Fans bekommen haben, waren sie angenehm überrascht, dass teilweise ganz andere Songs aufgefallen sind, die für die Band selbst als ein bisschen unwichtig oder als kleine so eingestuft wurden. Also einfach nicht so von Wichtigkeit. Aber die Fans und die Hörer der Band haben das anscheinend anders gesehen. Das fand sie sehr erfreulich. Und auch ein bisschen überraschend. Es gab ein paar Beispiele dafür. Er meinte zum Beispiel das Stück Drown So I Can Watch und Pills I Swallow. Aber er möchte ganz gerne dieses Stück Leave the House hören, das offensichtlich sehr gut ankommt bei den Twilight Sad Fans. Und das hören wir jetzt von dem Album Nobody Wants to Be Here and Nobody Wants to Leave. So das war Leave the House von The Twilight Sad, von dem aktuellen Album Nobody Wants to Be Here and Nobody Wants to Leave. I think it's interesting because I get the impression with this album that it's like a culmination of everything you kind of dabbled in maybe in the past at different phases, at different times.
Yeah.
Like the last album was a bit of a departure.
Mm-hmm.
And then you seem to have, I'm not saying you backtracked on that, but what I'm saying is if it climbed, you think, well, it was nice to have that departure, that kind of excursion. And let's get down to just the basic gut feeling of what we're about. That's the feeling I get about the album.
I think what we've done over the years is we've always tried new things, and we're still learning ourselves, like, about who we are and what we are as a band. There's things within our music that we can never change, that's just the core, that even if we wanted to change them, we couldn't.
Like your accent.
Like the accent, pretty much. If I wanted to change it, I couldn't.
You could take elocution lessons.
Yeah, probably could, I. But the thing is, with this one, I felt with the third record, we experimented and used a lot of electronic sounds and drum samples, and I'm still very, very proud of that record and very proud that we took the risk with it. But I think with this one, we wanted to take those elements and open them out and, like, get the bigger sound. And we've still got elements of, like, synthesizers and drum samples and things in there, but we've also incorporated the bigger, kind of more epic sound, I suppose you could say. And we also pushed ourselves forward trying new things as well. We have brass on a song, like brass instruments on the title track, and we've never ever thought about recording that, putting that on a record. The last song on the record is...
Have you learned to play the trumpet?
Not me, no chance. I can hardly sing, so try and do something else like that, no way. Andrew Bush, who engineered it, got a guy in to come and do it, and it really worked. It adds so much texture to the end of that song, I feel. And the last song on the record is a simple piano song with vocals and piano, and we did a lot of stripped back gigs over the past couple of years, and I think we learned that you don't need to throw lots of instruments at a song to make it really memorable or really work. So we stripped everything back, and that was from learning over the years as well, that we wanted to have a song where it was the bare bones, just the song. And there's, like,
you're talking about Sometimes I Wished I Could Fall Asleep.
Yeah, that song was one of the first songs written for the record, and after that, for me, it was I knew the themes and I knew what I wanted to exactly write about and where I was going with this whole record.
Das neue Album, das aktuelle Album Nobody Wants to Be and Nobody Wants to Leave, das vierte Werk, scheint eine Art so Zusammenfassung zu sein von ihrer Vergangenheit, meinte ich, in dem Sinne, dass bestimmte Elemente aus der Vergangenheit, sie treffen sich alle zusammen hier. Also was das letzte Album betrifft, war es ein bisschen so ein Abschied von der Vergangenheit. Es war ein Experiment, es war viel elektronischer als das, was sie vorher gemacht hatten. Und James sagt auch, dass er sehr stolz auf die letzte Platte war, dass es so also sehr mutig war, eigentlich das zu versuchen, so zu experimentieren mit elektronischen Klängen und mit Schlagzeug-Samples. Und dieses Album ist in der Hinsicht ein bisschen konventioneller, in dem Sinne, dass es auch erkennbar ist, eher als The Twilight Sad sofort. Aber dennoch sind Synthesizer-Passagen drin, auch immer noch Schlagzeug-Samples hier und da. Aber es ist alles verbunden mit dem klassischen Twilight Sad-Sound auch. Aber sie scheuen sich nicht davor, weiterhin zu experimentieren. Es gibt Bläser zum Beispiel auch auf dem Titelstück. Nobody Wants to Be Here and Nobody Wants to Leave hatten sie vorher noch nie gehabt. Und er meinte, dass es im Prinzip, ja, die haben einfach sich auf ihren Bauchgefühl verlassen, auf ihren Instinkt. Sie hatten auch in den letzten paar Jahren oft Live-Konzerte gespielt, absichtlich sehr sparsam arrangiert, also sehr so karg und sehr minimalistisch arrangiert. Und es gibt dieses eine Lied auf dem Album, das letzte Stück, Sometimes I Wish I Could Fall Asleep. Das ist das erste Lied, das entstanden ist für diese neue Platte. Und er meinte, als dieses Stück entstanden ist, dann wusste er, es war eigentlich klar, in welche Richtung das Album gehen würde. Und es ist sehr einfach arrangiert mit einfachem Klavier. Und er sagte, dass es auf jeden Fall ganz beabsichtigt war, einfach zu zeigen, dass es nicht immer notwendig ist, einen ganz vollen Sound zu haben. Sie haben oft so einen großen Sound angestrebt, aber sie können auch anders. Und das Stück hören wir jetzt. Sometimes I Wished I Could Fall Asleep von The Twilight Sad. Sometimes I Wished I Could Fall Asleep von The Twilight Sad von dem Album Nobody Wants to Be Here and Nobody Wants to Leave. Und James Graham, der Sänger der Band, ist bei mir im Studio. I've just made the point to the listeners, you are the singer.
Yeah.
Not just first and foremost, but you are a singer. Like, and essentially, that is the main role you have. And I think it's always interesting because if a singer just sings as opposed to playing instruments as well, it makes him more important as a singer. It gives him an extra weight, an extra influence.
Yeah.
And do you sense that feeling of importance as opposed to if you were playing the guitar all through the gig or playing a trumpet at times, whatever, you know what I mean?
It's all I've got, so I need to make the most of what I can do. I can't actually play any instruments, and I don't claim to be a musician or anything like that. I write lyrics and I write my melodies for my songs, and
You do actually write the melodies, you
say? Yeah, I write all the melodies and all the lyrics.
How do you write the melodies without playing an instrument then?
Well, Andy will send me some music over that he's written, and I will sing along, come up with melodies, come up with the lyrics, and then we'll talk back and forward about the song structure. I mean, saying I'm not a musician is true because I don't play an instrument, but I know what I'm doing when it comes to song structure and melody and things like that. And I think that also adds to our music, is that maybe I'm not the most classically trained musician, and it's more about what comes from within instead of what note is right or what's musically correct, if you know what I mean.
So the punk thing, I suppose.
Yes, there is something about that. And yeah. I mean, and yeah, I consider myself a singer as well. And when we play live, I don't just stand there and sing the songs either. I think people who have seen us before will see that I am quite animated, and people don't really... when I come off stage, people think I'm a completely different person because I get it all out on stage, and I think it's important to show people how much your music means to you and what these songs mean to you by putting everything into a performance as well.
And do you actually think if you did play an instrument on the stage, that it could actually take something away from your performance?
Possible, yeah. I'd have to concentrate on doing that as well. I think I can concentrate on singing and thinking about what I wrote the song about and what it means to me, whereas if I had something else to do, then it would possibly distract me.
It's interesting though, because on the one hand, as I say, it gives you this sense of importance because you're like the main man at the front and you're presenting the band, and so the charisma and the whole personality of the band is reflected by you.
Mm.
And I mean, if you left the band, it'd be a disaster, wouldn't it? You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Whereas if a bassist leaves the band, it's not such a big deal. But on the other hand, do you ever feel, because you're surrounded by like talented musicians who are probably getting better the older they get as well, do you actually ever feel a bit inadequate, thinking, well, I'm just singing here, I'm not really doing anything else?
No, I think I feel very privileged to be around those people to begin with, but I also feel that I write the lyrics, and the lyrics and the melodies and the songs are we're all just as important as each other in that case. And I think over the years, like Andy, and I think the people in the band have given me confidence by saying, like, what you do in this music, I think, is very special, and we all work together, and that yeah, I think I don't feel inadequate. I feel sometimes I wouldn't say it's jealous, but I sometimes wish I could play the way that those guys play, because I think they're extremely talented, but I think they see something within me that they wouldn't be able to do, and I see things within them that I'm not able to do, but we come together and we can all do it together, and I think that's a bit more respect than anything.
I suppose in a way you're following the tradition of a Scottish band like Idlewild, because Roddy Woomble, he never actually picked up an instrument, did he?
He's got a guitar now, I see, that he's been playing recently. He's playing.
He doesn't actually play it with Idlewild, though.
Yeah, I've just saw some live footage of them on their new record.
I saw him in Hamburg recently. He didn't play.
Did he not bring it?
He didn't play anything, don't he?
I saw it was the gig at Glasgow. I saw a video from it, and he's got his acoustic guitar. So nights he decides yes, maybe.
Oh, I don't think he did in Hamburg. I don't. Maybe it was just at the bar when he picked it.
I like having that. I like to be the singer. And even if I could play something else, I don't think it would add anything to our band. It would possibly take away from the live performance, to be honest.
Right. Right. Also James ist der Sänger, er spielt kein Instrument, und ich fragte ihn, wie er dazu steht, und er steht eben dazu, dass es so ist. Er fühlt sich schon wichtig als der Sänger, er ist so die Hauptpersönlichkeit in der Band, er ist sehr wichtig so für die Ausstrahlung der Band, auch live, und man kann wirklich vom Charisma reden, wenn er dann auf der Bühne steht. Er hat also wirklich sehr, sehr positive Präsenz. Und er sagt, dass er tatsächlich kein Instrument gelernt hat, aber er schreibt trotzdem die Melodien für die Songs und auch die ganzen Texte. Das Andy von der Band schickt ihm so eine Grundidee und er findet er dann Melodien, wenn er dann singt. Und er weiß schon über Songstrukturen Bescheid, aber ohne ein Instrument zu beherrschen. Und ab und zu mal ist er ein bisschen neidisch auf seine Kollegen, weil sie so gut musizieren können. Und das kann er nicht. Aber andererseits denkt er, dass es tatsächlich, dass die Band nicht dadurch gewinnen würde, wenn er ein Instrument spielen würde, im Gegenteil. Er meinte, also er denkt, dass die Band würde eigentlich weniger wirkungsvoll sein, weil dann er könnte sich nicht so voll und ganz auf seine Rolle konzentrieren. Und es ist einfach so eine Gleichberechtigung der Band und die respektieren sie alle gleichzeitig und die wissen, dass jeder leistet seinen Beitrag. Und James hat nicht das Gefühl, minderwertig zu sein, im Gegenteil. Er schreibt alle Texte und sogar die Melodien. Also mehr geht eigentlich auch gar nicht. Also er fühlt sich schon sehr gebraucht und sehr wichtig. Und seine Stimme ist natürlich sehr markant. Und wenn er die Band verlassen würde, wäre es eine kleine Katastrophe eigentlich, meinte ich. Und es ist interessant, dass die Band tatsächlich auf Dauer mit einem Sänger gearbeitet haben, der gar kein Instrument spielt und trotzdem so einen vollen Sound haben. I was just saying to the listeners that it's interesting that you've actually only got quite a basic core in your band, mm-hmm. but they've always managed to create quite a big sound when they want to.
Yeah.
And you'd think there's about six of you making music. Instead, it's like, you know, just very basic.
Now on the road, we're a five-piece. Mm. So there's guitar, drums, bass and keyboards. But you would definitely think, I think, with the how big the sound is, that there's a few more guitars in there and a few more things happening, but it's just the sound that Andy can create from his guitar is pretty huge. And Mark hits the drums pretty hard. Yeah, I can tell you, because I probably lost half of my hearing through being next to his cymbals all the time. But
it's interesting, because the last time I saw you play was you supported We Were Promised Jetpacks in Hamburg, going back a few years now. And it was interesting because you don't usually see a support band that makes such a big impression. Where at the end of the concert, I mean, we and the Promised Jetpacks are a really good live band too.
Mm, yeah.
We actually go home telling people you actually saw two really good bands that basically more or less are equal to each other.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the impression I got. You can't usually say that about support bands, but you certainly managed to leave that impression, I think.
Thank you. We've supported a lot of bands in our time, and I think that happens quite a lot to us. The aim is, when you're doing something like that, is to go and make an impression on people, and that's I think we do that. Maybe sometimes it might be a bad impression, but exactly. But you want to go there and you want people to remember it one way or another. They've got to remember what you do, and I think now we are playing the best we've ever played. We know our set inside out, and every time you play, you get better as a as a band, I think. And I think we're very lucky that we've been given the opportunity to support a lot of great bands, but at the same time we've taken advantage of it and put our stamp on every gig that we play. There's never, on our behalf, a half-hearted Twilight Sad performance.
Right.
I think no matter if you like it or not, you can see that we put everything into it for that hour or 20 minutes, and I don't think that will ever change. I think you've got that 1 hour or however it is on stage to make an impression on somebody. You've been travelling all day, you've all that stuff. None of that matters apart from that 1 hour that you've got there. And I think that's what I keep in my mind every time that we go and play.
Right. Yeah, der Sound ist tatsächlich ein sehr großer Sound, den Sie anstreben, auch vor allem live. Also ziemlich beeindruckend, sehr dynamisch, obwohl Sie tatsächlich nur Gitarre, Schlagzeug, Bass und Keyboards haben. Aber man würde glauben, eigentlich, das sind 6 oder 7 Leute auf der Band. Und auf jeden Fall, man würde denken, einige Gitarristen sind dabei. Das ist aber nicht der Fall. Und er sagt, es kommt einfach mit der Übung, dass sie tatsächlich immer besser geworden sind als Liveband. Und sie haben einen sehr guten Ruf als Liveband, haben oft im Vorprogramm für ganz renommierte Gruppen gespielt und haben dadurch sehr viel Erfahrung gesammelt. Und als ich die Band in Molotow gesehen habe, vor ein paar Jahren im Vorprogramm für We Were Promised Jetpacks, und als ich dann nach Hause gegangen bin, habe ich das Gefühl gehabt, wirklich 2 besonders gute Bands gesehen zu haben. Oft ist es so, dass man die Vorband kaum wahrnimmt. Und er sagt, das sagen auch viele. Und er freut sich darüber, dass sie es immer geschafft haben, eigentlich einen sehr positiven Eindruck bei Live-Konzerten zu hinterlassen. So, is there a song on the album which I think kind of sums up the epicness, like your traditional epicness? You can talk about the traditional epicness of the Twilight Sad these days, can't you? Which would be your choice?
I'd have to say it would be It Never Was the Same. I think it's a slow build, and it builds throughout the track and gets bigger and bigger as it goes on. And as it's just going to be our next single that we're taking from the record as well. And I think it was when it was written, it was we knew we'd. I thought we'd wrote something pretty special with it. We played the song acoustically first at a few acoustic gigs, and just to see what kind of reaction you would get before the record was out or anybody'd heard it. And it got the biggest reaction of the night every time we played it. And we're like, okay, might have a good song here. I'd say if that as a representation of the of what you've said there is that song especially.
Okay. So wenn gleich das Stück It Never Was the Same von ihrem aktuellen Album Nobody Wants to Be Here, Nobody Wants to Leave von the Twilight Sad. Und er sagt, das ist ein typisches Stück, ist also eigentlich für einfach für die Band überhaupt. Also es ist ein Stück, wo man die Band, ihren Sound sofort wiedererkennt. Also etwas episch, also sehr emotional und sehr dramatisch arrangiert. Und er meint, es war am Anfang ganz anders. Sie haben eine akustische Version gespielt. Und dann haben sie bemerkt, wie gut die Resonanz war im Publikum. Und dass es jeden Abend so eine positive Resonanz war. Und dann haben sie gedacht, okay, dann werden wir jetzt also eine andere, so voll ausgestattete Version davon machen quasi. Und das wird auch die nächste Single sein. Also hier ist It Never Was the Same von The Twilight Sad aus Schottland. It Never Was the Same von The Twilight Sad bei mir im Studio ist immer noch James Graham von der Band. I think one of the most important qualities of this album is the fact that it sounds very cohesive. Mm-hmm. The songs seem to kind of run into each other. It's just the opposite to the MP3 generation idea of just picking out a song. It'd be a nightmare trying to pick out a song and think which is meant to be representative.
Yeah,
I think it's difficult for me as a radio DJ to really to do it justice because I can't play the whole album at once. Mm. I was picking out sound and then telling people you should listen to it as a whole after just having played one song.
Yeah.
But that's the dilemma obviously I'm in. But you know what I'm saying?
I totally agree with you. It was the album was written to be an album and to be listened to all the way through to fully appreciate what it's about. Every song is a chapter in the story of the overall album. We as a band write albums, and I know that these days that's not the most popular thing. Maybe I think the album is an art form, and I think it's be so sad if people forget about it and don't work that way. I mean, we will always work that way. Every album we write is a snapshot of our life at that time and who I am as a person through my lyrics at that time. And I think that, I think that the generation these days with the MP3s and things, that's fine. I think it was cool. People want to listen to music in however way they want to. That's their decision. But I really feel that we shouldn't lose the album as an art form, because it's, you just, it's like a film. I don't know, I feel like I want to hear what this person's got to say for themselves from start to finish.
You don't want to just hear a snippet.
Yeah, I want to hear everything, you know. And I think when you fall in love with an album, it's an amazing feeling. And yeah, you can love songs and things, but if you truly want to immerse yourself in a band that you like, you listen to it from start to finish and see what these people have put into that hour's worth of music. I think it's important, and we're never going to change. We're always going to do that. I think people appreciate that we do it. I think, like, even though there's a lot of younger people that are doing the MP3s and things, I think there's a lot of people still out there that's hungry for the album as a format. And if they like our music, they're going to get that all the time.
Ja, ich sagte, dass das Album für mich ein einheitliches Feeling hat. Die Songs gehen ineinander über, und es ist eigentlich sinnvoller, das Album komplett durchzuhören auf einmal und nicht nur einzelne Stücke zu hören, um das richtig zu begreifen, was natürlich schwierig ist, wenn man ein Album im Radio vorstellt. Aber er hat es auch bestätigt. Er meinte, dass es auch so beabsichtigt war. Sie glauben wirklich an die Idee von einem Album als ein wichtiges Format. Und er versteht zwar, dass die Leute den Wunsch haben, bestimmte Songs für MP3-Titel auszukoppeln, aber es war immer ihre Absicht, eigentlich ein komplettes Werk zu liefern, wo es wirklich einen gesamten Zusammenhang gibt. Und er meinte, dass jeder Song ist wie ein neues Kapitel oder wie ein Film. Und er möchte nicht nur einen kurzen Ausschnitt haben, sondern er möchte wirklich das komplette Werk konsumieren. Und das ist einfach so die Überzeugung der Band. And talking about chapters, as in a book, I mean, obviously your songwriting, your lyric writing, you're always telling stories, almost like in the Scottish folk tradition or whatever. But I think what's interesting about it is that you tend to go for kind of weird detail, you know, that kind of keeps it interesting, because anybody can tell a story, can't they? Mm-hmm. But you kind of go for details, or you just, there's some simple sentences which just seem to be very clever at catching people's attention. Mm-hmm. Trying to think of an example, like she's not coming back or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's repeating something like that. You think, well, it's a bit boring to repeat that 10 times. But if you do it in the right way, mm-hmm. it's just the opposite.
I think you can have different meanings behind the same line. And by repeating it, it's also forcing a point across as well, and making it stick in your head. And every time, like, say, and she's not coming, like, she's not coming back, I change it to you're not coming back, we're not coming back. But that always reflects back to the previous line that, the story is unraveling in a way that, yeah, it is repeated, but it's repeated for a reason to signify the next piece of the story, if that makes sense. Metaphors and things like that. I've used a lot of metaphors in the past, and I'm a person that doesn't really talk about my lyrics as in explaining what they're about, and I like that, because my favourite songs are the songs that I don't know what they're about, but I can relate them back to myself or something that's happened in my life or a certain time in my life. If I hear that song, I'll remember that. And sometimes if you tell people exactly what they're about, it can maybe spoil that illusion, I suppose, and I like to just keep it that way.
And luckily your accent is not so broad that we don't understand what you're singing.
Well, sometimes it is. So there's very interesting people that have tried to decipher what I'm saying, and it's just like, no, you've got that wrong. Got that so wrong. But this time I've put the lyrics all on our website, just because in a way sometimes it gets kind of annoying, because you're like, well, that lyric that you think that is actually really rubbish. I want you to know it's this lyric here that I think's quite good. So I've wrote them all out, and I think especially people from in different countries appreciate that a lot. Like, and I think it's maybe something I'll do for the rest of the records as well. I've did it for the second record, but not for the third or the first. So
James sagt, dass er sehr viel Wert natürlich auf seine Texte legt, dass die Texte spannend bleiben für den Hörer. Und ich meinte, dass teilweise sind es relativ einfache Aussagen, die er macht, ein einfacher Satz, den er irgendwie 10-mal wiederholt. Und es hat eine ganz bestimmte dramatische Wirkung oder verändert den Satz nur ganz wenig, meint er, damit die Wirkung irgendwie erhöht wird. Und er hat immer mit viel Metaphern gearbeitet und er sagt, dass er nie bereit war, ganz offen über seine Songs zu sprechen, also was sie zu bedeuten haben. Also die Hörer sollen die selbst interpretieren. Er meinte, das ist irgendwie so ganz wichtig für das Mysterium, für das Geheimnis der Musik eigentlich, dass man es nicht klipp und klar macht. Er hat zwar die ganzen Texte in diesem Fall auf der Website ausgedruckt, abgedruckt, damit die Leute sich damit identifizieren können oder sich damit auseinandersetzen können, aber er ist auch nicht bereit, eine ganz klare Aussage zu machen und sagen, ja, das ist so und so gemeint. Und dabei bleibt ein bisschen mysterious, ein bisschen poetisch. Und ja, das ist einfach so sein angeborener Instinkt, einfach mit Texten, mit Worten, einfach so sehr poetisch und wählerisch umzugehen. All right, thanks very much for coming down anyway. Appreciate that.
No, cheers, thank you
and
very much.
And I hope the pleasant days continues on tour in Europe.
Yes, it's all been good so far. Touch wood. I'm looking forward to tonight because Hamburg has always been very kind to us. I think every time we've played here, it's been one of the busiest gigs of the tour, and tonight
sold out
tonight.
So cool, yeah,
we're excited to be back, and
that's great news, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, like for a band that's been going for so long to see a sold out before you're even at the gig, it just puts everybody in a good mood and everybody really up for it. So
yeah, we'll enjoy it anyway.
Yeah, cheers.
Okay. So zum Schluss haben wir jetzt Last January von dem Album Nobody Wants to Be and Nobody Wants to Leave. Das Konzert in Hamburg ist ausverkauft und ja, das war der Nachtclub mit Paul Baskerville. Ich wünsche euch eine gute Nacht.
NDR Info Nachrichten.